Praise the Lord. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Do not fear if I am with you, but I give you only begotten Son to save you from your sins, to give you a life in heaven. As we feel ourselves from the outside.
Amen. Do not fear, for I am with you, the Lord would say. Brother, believe the Lord, they take upon his heart. Come on.
God bless you. As I was just in worship now, I felt like the Lord to lay take upon me out and say, do not fear, for I'm with you. Before I got me one and only Son to give you a life and life set you free. There was laid upon me out and I didn't want to say it, but I felt convicted of myself and I'm tongue-tied. But do not fear, for the Lord is with us. We shouldn't fear. For what's going on our own at this time of life? We've got the greatest master of all. We just need a servant here. And please, serve him to his max. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. I just want to encourage you tonight. If that's for you, the Lord has spoken to you tonight. Take that in and take encouragement from it. The Lord loves you and he is with you. And he died for you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need to hear that tonight, let's pray. Before we come around God's word, let's just pray. Let's just seek the Lord. Tonight we're going to talk about Christian marriages and all the different things that Paul taught about Christian marriage. Some of the things we're going to be covering tonight. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just ask, my God, that, Lord, if it's for anyone in this place, Lord, tonight, that you want to encourage them and lift them up, my God, to know that you're near, I pray, Lord, you speak to them and let them know, Lord, that you've done, Lord, you confirm in their hearts that you love them, Lord, that you're with them. We pray, Lord, tonight, as we go through your word, you give us understanding that the learning would be for living. We would understand, Lord, and through our marriages and our lives, our homes, my God, that we would bring glory to your name. That we'd be a people holy and righteous and pure, my God. And we ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. And I'm going to read what it says. Now, to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried and be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but they are holy. But if an unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? So let's pray. Let's pray that God gives us the understanding. Come, let's pray again. Thank you, Lord. Let your name be glorified and praised, Lord. Lift your name. Lord, you speak to us, Lord, and give us understanding, my God. Lord, about to conduct ourselves and what to do, my God, and how to act and how to be all to one another, Lord, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So look, Paul writes to the Corinthian church and he's dealing with certain situations that's previously been asked of him. So what happens is, in the beginning of chapter 7, he said, I'm writing to you about these things that you've asked me about. So what they've done, the churches have written to him and said, Paul, how do we deal with this? How do we sort this out? Where do we go on in that situation? What do we do here? And Paul is teaching them, as the Holy Spirit speaks through him, he's teaching them how to conduct themselves. And obviously, marriage is something, and divorce is something that they've asked him about. So he's dealing with certain situations here in this letter, in this part of the letter, that he's previously been asked to deal with or talk about. And here he deals with marriage and how to conduct yourself within a marriage in certain situations when it comes to how we now act towards one another, whether about leaving and staying and divorce and remarriage, all that sort of thing. And he's even talking about he's dealing with unsaved husbands and wives and their situation. So look, let's just get into it. He says, look, now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. Paul isn't saying here that I command you, not I, but the Lord. He's not saying I've got an opinion about this, and Jesus had an opinion about it, and we're on separate pages. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. He's not saying that. He's saying, listen, I'm commanding you now, not I, but Jesus is commanding you, because he's already told you about this. This question's already been answered. And we're going to go through what Jesus said. He isn't saying I have a different authority than Jesus, or I have a different opinion than Jesus. When he says, not I but the Lord command you, he's referring, saying, look, Jesus has already told you about this. Jesus has already told you, he's already taught you about this. So I'm just going to reaffirm, Paul's going to reaffirm, repeat, what Jesus has already taught and said. Close that door, shut it. He's going to reaffirm what Jesus has already said. Now, look, let's be honest about this, right? Marriage and divorce and them types of things are a very big subject and problem to the Christian church. And I tell you what I mean by this. Moses dealt with it and taught about it. We're going to read the scriptures where the Pharisees come and ask Jesus about it, and people ask Jesus about it. They're asking Paul about it. And me, Johnny and Charles get asked about it all the time. Get asked about it all the time. We do, right? Any preachers meet as they talk about it, teach about it, marriage and divorce and all that sort of thing. But this is the problem we've got, and this is what I want you to understand before we even get going, right? Divorce ain't the unforgivable sin. It's not. Divorce is not the unforgivable sin. But as a Christian, when Christians come to us, we don't deal with unsaved people in their marriages, but when Christians come to us, they always come too late. I want to talk to you about divorce. So hold on a minute. This has happened, that's happened, this is blah, blah, blah. Can I divorce my wife? Can I divorce my husband? Listen, we don't talk about divorces first. First we talk about marriage and how to fix what's broken. Then later on down the line, at the last knockings, under certain circumstances, the Bible permits divorce. But what everyone tries to do is deal with it themselves first, then they want the pastors to give them a door open and unlock the door and give me a way out. It's not going to happen. From a Christian spiritual point of view, we will counsel and help anyone, but first, we don't talk about divorce first. We talk about working in a marriage. Amen? Everyone on the same page? Amen. So it's a very big subject. And a problem in the Christian church throughout history. Jesus was asked about it. Paul's asked about it. We get asked about it today. And look, and every marriage and every situation can have its own issues and its own merits, its pros and its cons, its own problems. I've understood that when we've had to deal with things before and try and help brothers and sisters work through things, or things have come up, big issues, every situation is different. None of them are the same. And it's very hard to work through. I understand that, and a lot of things can go on. But look, I think what this deals with, these scriptures, what we're going to look at, first we're going to look at what Jesus said, what Paul was saying about what the Lord had said. And I think it's very clear about what is permitted and not permitted within a marriage where divorce and remarriage is concerned. So let's just look at that. Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to read it, don't have to turn to it. Verse 31. It says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, furthermore, it has been said.
What was that, James?
This is Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. 32. Furthermore, it's been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Because Moses permitted that. We're going to see that Jesus affirmed that Moses permitted them things. And they give him a certificate of divorce to say, so that person could prove they was free and say, look, I'm free, I've got this certificate. But you're married, ain't you? No, look, I've got a certificate, I'm divorced. I'm allowed, and the certificate was so they could remarry. Divorce was for remarriage. The certificate of divorce was for remarriage. But Jesus said, but I say to you, that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality, being cheated on, fornication, adultery, yeah, that he causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who's divorced commits adultery. So what Jesus is saying here is that in the past, you'd divorce your wife for any reason. And we're going to look at that. Should the crankiest reasons that back in Jesus' time they divorced their wives for. For any reason, you'd divorce your wife and try and cop for a new one. Got the sick, I'll have a new one. Right? And we see that today, don't we? Right? But what Jesus is saying, but I'm telling you, there's only one reason that that contract can be broken. You can break that contract with your wife or with your husband, and that's because of sexual immorality. So what does this mean? What's Jesus saying? There is a circumstance that a man and woman, a Christian man and woman, can divorce. If you're not saved, a man and woman can divorce a million times and have a million husbands and wives. We're talking to the church. Yeah? One man would want to have a million wives for, I've got no idea. Right? Speak the truth. And one woman would want a million husbands. But this, we're talking to Christians now. So this ain't for us to go out and say, oh, look, this ain't about, it's about the church, about the saints. So what Jesus is saying here is there is a circumstance, an extreme circumstance, where two people, where that contract is broken and they can separate and they're not bound to one another. And it's because of sexual immorality on one person's part. Yeah? Amen? But what is... Pardon? Yeah, they're having an affair. Yeah? They got cheated on. Yeah? So what he's saying here, what Jesus is saying here, there is a reason, but there's one reason. There's one reason that while your husband and your wife are still alive, you can go and remarry, and that's because if that person has an affair. So what that's saying is here, let's get to the degree, that marriage, what Jesus is saying is, marriage is sacred. Marriage is binding, yeah? Marriage is permanent. And I want you to understand something in here tonight. We're going to make very, very clear. And a lot of you understand why we're trying to make this clear, only because of the things that we've had to deal with just of late. Right? And I want you to go on and tell your teenage children this, if they're not here tonight. And we think like this anyway, especially as Christians. Whether a man goes to a registry office, gets married in a Church of England or a Catholic church or whatever, or he runs off, he takes himself a woman and he runs off like gypsy people do. Yeah? As a church, and me as a father, as a preacher, me and my wife, as a preacher, as a minister, as a Christian, as a church and as a mission, we accept that as marriage. Amen? Amen. Two Christian people, a man takes himself a wife and goes, yeah? We accept that as marriage. There's no 5 minutes later, oh no, I tell you the truth, it never really worked out. I'll chop that in for a new one. You know what I mean? There's none of that. They won't be done that much. And you can do it because you've got free will. But you won't be coming in here with it. Alright? That's it. So, all I'm trying to say is, we accept marriage is permanent. And that's why I've told my children, not that I'm full of wisdom, I don't get it right as a father, I don't get it right as a preacher, I don't get it right as a Christian. But one thing I understand, I told my children, when you take yourself an husband or a wife, that's going to be, unless something happens, that's for life. And let's be fair, Paul was going to deal with things happening. Not every marriage makes it, does it? And Paul's gracious to that, and we're going to teach that here in a minute. But for a second, we're just going to talk about marriage and what marriage is. You take yourself a wife, it's permanent. Unless something breaks that, or it breaks down, and then things can happen, like I said, Paul's going to deal with that. That is binding, it's permanent. So make sure when you pick someone, and tell your children when they pick someone, and take them as a husband or wife, they better make sure it's the right one. Can we have questions afterwards?
Yeah.
And is that what I call it? A quick one?
But if the other one dies.
You are free. Yes.
Not
so she's saying if someone dies, and she did the Abram when she said it as well. She's like that, that made my act. Yeah, of course. Listen, look, let's start. We're going to take questions. Well, I might seem like I'm being a bit, I'm sticking to the one thing and being a bit extreme, but we will clear up all the little details. We're going to talk about this, but I just want to make one, any minute we're going to talk about marriages that don't work out and the grace that God gives to allow people to separate. So that's a good thing, because some people live in terrible marriages, don't they? You know what I mean? But for this minute time, we're just going to talk about marriage, because he's saying, listen, look, now to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. So what does that mean? It means that really, see all that to and fro-ing, oh, look at the size of the head on you, no, you've got a bigger head than me, I don't like your mother, no, I can't stand your mother neither, I'm leaving you, I'm going home for a month. Rubbish. Yeah? But, I tell you what, if someone's getting killed, or mentally tortured, I'm telling you now, you ain't got to stay in that marriage. If someone's getting mentally tortured and killed and dashed, if you don't want to, you have not got to stay in that marriage and think you're honouring the Lord. Do you understand that? Amen? We're clearing it all up tonight, aren't we? Because I don't ever want to be asked about this again, to be honest. I've got a cigarette.
Get
beat
up. Get beat up, really.
Yeah, so, and I'd advised Reg just before, so, you know what I mean, like, yeah, she's picking up, right?
It's not divorce.
No, it's not divorce. Listen, we're going to clear these things up. That's why we don't know questions before we get to it. So there is going to be times where you can separate. But separate, not move on. They're two separate things. One life, one wife. Death or adultery breaks that contract. That's down to two things that break it. One life, one wife. Amen?
Amen. That's right. That's
100%
right.
Yeah, right. That's right, Shreddy. So listen, this can seem like a burden, can't it? Marriage is permanent, but listen, this is why we take this. For me, for you, I was taught the same thing, and really, and we all had the same understanding. We're not, me and Vicky got together, and you got together, your husband and wife, and I understand that things don't always work out, but really, we intend to be together, don't we? We intend to be together and stay together. Marriage is binding. Let's look at what Jesus said in Matthew 19. Again, he's asked the question again. The Pharisees come to him. Matthew 19:3, and the Pharisees also come to him, testing him. Hold on a minute. Can't see the rest of the scripture there. Testing him, saying, for is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife just for any reason? And he answered and said to them, you've heard it said in the beginning that God made a male and female, and for this reason a man should leave his mother and father's house and be joined to his wife, and the two should not be, they shall become one flesh. So no longer are they two people, but they are joined together, they have become one. He says, and what God has brought together, let no man separate. And they said to him, then why did Moses give us a certificate of divorce to put her away? And he said to them, because Moses permitted you to be divorced from your wives because of the weakness of your flesh. But he said, it wasn't always this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever divorces her husband for another commits adultery. So one thing I want to make clear of, listen. Someone can be unsaved and then they can, and the marriage can break down and then they can get saved and they can still have another husband or wife. This is talking about Christian people. born again, baptised believers, being married, having an husband or a wife, and then for no reason, jogging them on, and just taking another one. The Bible is very serious about marriage because it reflects our relationship. A marriage between a man and a woman reflects the relationship that Jesus Christ, that we have with the Lord. It's a very important thing, and it is a blessing. When conducted and put into practice rightly, it can be a blessing. And here he's trying to deal with these things, and he's saying, Jesus, look, Jesus said this, the Lord taught these things. Divorce wasn't God's intention for a man and a woman, but Moses allowed divorce for certain reasons because of the weakness of the people of Israel. But then they begin to abuse it. By the time it got to Jesus' time, the Jews abused it, and they ended up, they were divorcing their wives because, and this is genuine, they divorced their wives because they never came up. They divorced their wives because one man had a gammy meal, and come on, they had one gammy meal and divorced his wife. High five to him, you know what I mean? Said, Vic, here, you know what I mean? God, I've been divorced a million times, if that was the case. Says anyone else, okay? Well, I'm saying, like, they just wanted a new one, didn't they? That was Jesus' time. They were divorcing the wives for any reason. Because they never came up properly, or they never cooked, they cooked a bad meal. It was silliness. But look, when a man and a woman entering into marriage, the Bible says they are no longer two people, they become one flesh. And divorce is not the unforgivable sin, but it does cause problems. It can cause problems. And listen, I'm not pointing anyone out, if anyone in here has been divorced or anything like that, or anyone's in this situation where they maybe they've got another wife, anything like that. But all I'm trying to do is I'm trying to deal with what the scripture says and explain for a Christian from a biblical point of view how we must dwell within the confines of a marriage, how we must live. There's no longer two people. God sees them as one person. That agreement is permanent and binding, and it's lifelong commitment. And listen, it's full of joy and trials, isn't it? To be with someone and to be married and have a wife or have a husband, it can be full of joy and trials. But it's not to be abused. That's why it should never be stepped in too lightly. So let's just read that again. It says, now, to the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. So look, we can't deny that marriage is a serious thing and that it's a lifelong commitment between two people when they love one another. But Paul was acknowledging here that how difficult marriage can be, and that things don't always work out the way we intend them. And he answers the question, this is the question, what if a marriage breaks up or breaks down? Paul's answering the question here. He's saying, look, a woman shouldn't depart from her husband. She shouldn't just get rid of her husband for no reason. He's not talking about leaving under certain circumstances. He's talking about getting rid of them for no reason. He said, look, a man shouldn't divorce his wife. But if they do, but if that does happen, if she does depart, let her remain unmarried. So there is certain circumstances where two people can separate and stay separate. But the problem there can be, not all the time, but some of the time, is we don't want to be separate, we just want a different one, or what we think is a better one. And that's how some people think. And he's saying no. A man and a woman need to work on their marriage for good times and bad, but sometimes a marriage breaks down and it could be because of sin, because it's one person's sin, it can be because of a mental or physical abuse, and the one person wants to leave. Or it could be something traumatic can happen in their life. I know there's a statistic, and when they lose children, they lose children. Three out of them, four marriages break down. And the man and woman love one another, but they're just going through such a traumatic thing, their marriage breaks down, and somehow something happens, I don't know, but they fall out of love with one another. So I would say that is a time where we would encourage people as a church and as part to support and encourage and love one another and bear with one another. But I know that what I'm trying to say is there's certain circumstances where I think a marriage can break down and it just finishes. Yeah? And this is talking about Christians. He's talking to Christians. He's running a Christian church. And under those circumstances, he's saying, look, if a woman should depart from her husband, but if she does, she's got to stay single. She can't remarry. Oh, I can't live with him, I'm going to leave him. I can't live with her, I'm going to leave her. All right then. As you say, you can't do nothing, no, it can't work, it's out, I've had enough. Game over. All right, fair enough. Oh, I think I'll get myself another one though. What? You just left that one. Because it wasn't working out. No, separate, but stay single. That's what Paul's saying. In those extreme cases where it's impossible for a man and woman to live together, Paul says you can be separate, but not to remarry. Because it hasn't worked out, you can't just go and find somebody else. So a man and woman can divorce if they've been cheated on, if they want to. I will tell you this, look, God is a God of reconciliation and forgiveness. And even amongst two Christians, if something happened and one person committed adultery against the other person, and they was to come to us and ask our advice, and the person who's done the wrong was seeking to get back with his husband or his wife, we'd always encourage the person, the innocent party, to say, if you can find it in your heart, it would be a godly thing if you could forgive them and take them back. For your sake, for the marriage, for his sake, for the children. Because God is a God of reconciliation. But they don't have to. They don't have to. So a marriage can fall apart. A person can divorce somebody if they've cheated on, or that person cheats on them or commits adultery. Apart from that, if a marriage falls apart, you can be separate. As Christians, talk about Christians here, Christian marriages, but you're not to remarry. And it says here that if they're not willing to be on their own, after a time they think, you know what? I don't like this. I don't like being on my own. And it says they can't go and find someone new. They have to return to their husband or their wife and put it back together. So then it goes to verse 12. So he leaves that section and he starts to talk about if one's saved and one's unsaved is a marriage. So he says, but to the rest, I, not the Lord, say if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And if a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. But the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now, they are holy. Paul's dealing with another question. He goes on another subject that he must have been asked about. Because, listen, this is the new church. They're all young Christians, right? Or maybe they've been saved a while by now. But this is the early work, and it's the early church. And Jesus never taught them these things. And he deals with the question, is that what if one's saved in a marriage and one isn't? Because light and dark can't mix, you already told us that. One's full of the Spirit, one ain't. One wants to pull one way, one's got new desires and wants to follow the Lord, and the other one's still. But what do we do? Should we continue in such a marriage? Should we dissolve it? Are we free? Should we leave them and then go marry a Christian? What should we do? And this is something that Jesus never spoke about. He never spoke on this subject. And Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaks into a new situation, a new problem that's arising in the church. And he says, look, if an unbeliever is willing to stay in the marriage with a believing partner, then that Christian should not seek to divorce that person. Because look, let's be fair. Usually when people get saved, and we still see this today, that when the Holy Spirit comes in, so a person can get saved in a marriage, and there'll be such a dynamic change in their life, they're not even like the same person they used to be. They get forgiven and filled with the Spirit, and all of a sudden they think, oh, I can't do that anymore, I'm not going to do that, I'm not messing about, no, I can't do that. And there's such a change, it could be like a shock to the other person. And some people, and I've known this, I only known it once, a long time ago, but I know of a man who got saved, and there was such a change in his life, that his wife wasn't willing to live with him. And he said, I don't want to go back to all that. I don't want to go back to all that old rubbish. He said, would you rather me keep coming back beat up and broke up and drunk and running here and running? She went, yeah. I'd rather that man. He went, I don't want to be that man. She went, well, I'm going. And she did. She took something, she moved on and got someone else. He was free. Yeah, good question. That he was free. Because she departed and took someone else. Right? There is always an innocent party. An innocent party is always free, usually. So, and I've known that to happen. This is dealing with that. Saying, look, two people are unsaved, they get on the line, all of a sudden one person gets saved. There is an extreme circumstance, I would say it don't happen a lot, but every now and then it might come to the point where there's such a change and such a lifestyle change. No, in fact, I've known it happen twice. Sorry, God forgive me, I've known that happen twice. Genuinely, yes, I've known that happen twice. And by the way, sisters, it was a sister who left the man got saved, that happened, right? It wasn't the other way around. No, but I'm making a joke of it there, but I've known that, when I think of that, I've known that happen twice. And they wasn't willing to continue. And he's saying, but if they are willing, and they're willing to stay, and they want to continue in their marriage, don't put them off. Because you go, oh, wait, I'm saved now, you're not a saved person, we're supposed to be mixing with you, lined up, don't we? No, you're married. The marriage contract is binding, it overrides all that, light and darkness don't mix. In fact, it goes on to say that even if there is a person who's unsaved in the marriage, that person then becomes sanctified. If someone is willing to stay in that marriage with a believing partner, he shouldn't seek to be separate. Paul gives two good reasons why they shouldn't separate. First, being what I just said, the unbeliever is sanctified. Now, that word sanctified means made clean, but that doesn't mean saved here. They are sanctified, not saved. What it means is that they become in a unique position in that relationship of blessing because they are married to a Christian. And God blesses Christians as his child. That overflows into the marriage. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. You remember the story in the Old Testament? Jacob and his father-in-law, Laban. Now, Laban was an ungodly man. He tricked Jacob. But Laban's household and everything he owned was blessed because Jacob was in his household. It overflowed to Laban because God said, I'm going to bless Jacob. And Jacob was in his household, even though it was under Laban lied to him. He was crafty. But it overflowed into Laban's household and his life and his goods and his stock and his life and everything. Joseph in Potiphar's house. Joseph was a slave in Potiphar's house. God blessed him and it overflowed into Potiphar's household. If someone is saved in a marriage and they have an unsaved husband or wife, they should continue together in love and compassion and understanding with one another, even though there's a lot of differences going on probably at the time. Look, things start to change and there can be a lot of differences, especially if that person starts to grow in the Lord and mature. There can be differences. But he's saying, look, that marriage is sanctified. God blesses it, he puts his blessing upon it, and then blessings even overflow to the unsaved person because of the Christian that's in that marriage. It says otherwise, your children would be unclean. But they're not, they're holy. The unbeliever can be blessed because of the opportunity to hear the gospel. I remember, listen, my father was unsaved for a long time. I remember my mum and my sisters getting saved, and my dad wasn't a Christian. He was unsaved for a long time. He wasn't a bad man. I never had a bad home, and anyway, he wasn't bad at all to me or nothing like that. But it was a long time before my dad got saved. And even though my dad never brought us up in a bad way, it was a good way. But it was just an unsaved way. Do you understand that? He just had an unsaved mind. He taught us the best he knew from to do the best we could in the world. But now all of a sudden I'm a Christian. I'm saved. But I remember there was another influence in the house, and it was my mum and my sisters, because they were Christians. And they was telling us about the Lord and teaching us about God. There's also another blessing, because even if there's that, the gospel can come into that household when there's a saved partner. Paul's saying, don't let that marriage break down. Don't just throw it away. Don't discard it. Don't dissolve it just because you're saved and your partner's not. Because it's sanctified. God can still bless in that marriage. God can still make things good. In fact, the Bible says that the strong are the bearer with the failings of the weak. And the second one is also, he says, your children are sanctified, otherwise they'd be unclean. When children are brought up with a believing parent in a loving, stable home, they have the opportunity to hear about Jesus and be taught the truth and hear the gospel. Marriage is, what he's saying is, look, everything you look down here, marriage is not to be discarded easily or frivolously. It's not to be taken or abused and took lightly. It's a serious thing. And then he says, verse 15 and 16, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know a wife whether you will save your husband, or how do you know a husband whether you will save your wife? Listen. Obviously, it's clear that God values a believer's faithfulness to their marriage vows. But that's an ideal world, isn't it? That's an ideal world. Sometimes the unsaved person, like we've just spoke about a minute ago, sometimes even Christian marriages break down. Sometimes even Christian marriages, when there's two Christians, fall apart. But here he's talking about an unbeliever and a believer. Sometimes in ideal worlds things just don't work out, and that person doesn't want to continue, the unsaved person doesn't want to continue in that marriage with a believer. And Paul says, look, there's nothing that can be done, and they don't want to continue in the marriage, and they want to divorce you, then let them go. If they're not willing to live with you because you're a Christian, it's different to say they wasn't willing to live with me. So the Lord's told them I'm not bound by that. Well, why wouldn't they want to live with you? I think it's because I'm a Christian. Then when you talk to the other side, they go, he was treating me like a pig. He was killing me, treating me like an absolute dog. No, they never left you because you was a Christian. They left you because you were treating a woman like a pig. That's why they left you. You're still bound under that circumstance. But there is an odd circumstance where the person is a Christian and their unsaved partner doesn't want to continue with them. It says, don't make them. If you can't mend it, fix it, put it right, try, let them go. Let them depart. Paul said, you're not bound to make it work if they don't want to be with you because you're a Christian. You can't change their mind. Don't fight. It says, in fact, live in peace. Be in peace, it says. Because look, I think this as well. I think when something has broken between whether it's two saved people or a saved and an unsaved person, when something does break and it does fall to the ground and we try and put it back together, even after it's gone way beyond what it should be, it can cause more problems. Paul's saying that there is a point where the line is drawn and you say, listen, just let them go. But again, it doesn't say anything about, it says you're not bound to stay with that person under that circumstance, if you're saved and they're not, they don't want to be with you because you're a Christian. But again, it doesn't say anything about them getting married again. You are to remain single. You can't just go and get married. It doesn't mention anything about that person remarrying. It says, but how do you know a wife whether you will save your husband? How do you know a husband whether you will save your wife? Also, you don't know whether they're going to be saved or not. Some people hang on for so long in abusive marriages, hoping that their husband or wife's going to be saved. And they don't want to live with them. They don't even want them. And they're trying to think they're going to be saved in a minute. You don't know if they're going to be saved or not. They might not get saved. But also, as well, if you jack on it too quick, if you jack too quick and think, ah, oh, listen, they don't want me to give me a life, I'll just let them blow. Paul also says, well, they could have got saved in a minute. Then God could have blessed, doubly blessed your marriage. Look, I want to finish and encourage you this. It's a bit of a, it is a long one, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? There's a few details there to get through. It's a long one. But Paul was asked these questions, and we get asked these questions all the time. If Moses was dealing with it, Jesus was dealing with it, Paul's dealing with it, I don't think we're going to all sort it out in one night, do you? Do you know what I mean? It's been going on for thousands of years. But the Bible is quite clear. But look, I want to encourage us. We live in a world today where if things ain't working out or it don't suit, we just discard it. Get rid of it. And that's, listen, look, just run away from it. But that's not the Christian way. And especially not with marriages. God has given a marriage between one man and one woman. And even though it has its lows and its hardships, it can be the greatest joy of a man or a woman's life. If there's love and unity and grace and Jesus Christ. Amen? And I want to encourage you, ladies, because that was God's intention for man and woman. To be together, to dwell together, to have one another, and be one. And it can be the greatest blessing that a man or woman can have. But there is circumstances where God does permit divorce or even separation. But they're very extreme circumstances, brothers and sisters. And not only us as older Christians, because a lot of us here have got husbands and wives and we're older Christians now, or we're just older people. Maybe we've only been saved 2 minutes. But we can understand through the scripture of what the Bible says about these things. How we should conduct ourselves. And let me tell you something, these are things I want to teach my children. I want my boys and my girls to understand these things. Because that's, if God says it, and God commands it, then I know it can be a blessing in my life. Amen? Now listen, we're going to cut it there, and we are going to have questions. But I don't want make-believe scenarios. What happened if this happened? And then, if you know someone it's happening to, or it's happening to you, or you know of a situation you'd like clearing up, and it's real, ask me the question. Don't ask me fake scenarios, because we'll be here all night. Yeah? So go on then, you got any questions? Come on. Of course, buddy.
Children, like,
if you
like, don't
know,
so say, like, they've been
struggled
with someone,
yeah,
and then left her,
thank you.
Come on,
exactly.